night, so... Excuse me if I pass out during talk. So yeah, here I'm to discuss how to probe cosmology with SA decrement and X-ray temperature scaling relation. So in the past few decades, we have been making big progress in the technology of observing clusters. So we have this, first we observe them in optical band, that is Hubble telescope. Then we proceed to the X-ray band. Now with a comma and a south pole, we are able to observe them in radio band. So with this new technology, I think we will detect thousands of clusters, and that's huge. And one question is, how can we get information from these clusters? And my focus will be, how can we get cosmological information from the clusters? So there are some ways, traditional ways. The first way is just to count the cluster number. So because we know that the mass function is very sensitive to the cosmology, and people have been using the X-ray temperature function or luminosity function to constrain some cosmology. And in the latest paper by Wicklini et al, they are able to detect omega lambda in 5 sigma level. And there's a second way is kind of to use the cluster as a standard ruler. So if, for example, if you measure the gas mass fraction, and then you can get some information about angular diameter distance, and then you get some cosmology. And there are also some proposals. For example, you can use the power spectrum, which also includes the information from barium acoustic feature. So here I'm today. Today I'm here. I'm gonna promote one idea. That is how maybe we can use the scaling relation between SZ and X-ray. And so the basic idea is kind of simple, because we know that scaling relations depend on background cosmology. When the cluster category is small, this dependence is masked by the uncertainty in the cluster structure. But if we have thousands of clusters, maybe, and we have very accurate measurement of the scaling relation, maybe we can simultaneously constrain cosmology and also the cluster structure. So that's the idea. And there are a lot of scaling relations. Why do we choose the SC decrement and X-ray temperature? So so first reason is, of course, because they have different dependence on cosmology. The second reason is because they are kind of relatively insensitive to the cluster structure. So they have kind of smaller scatter. And yeah, I think that's it. So in order to forecast the constraint in this way, we need a cluster model. And this is our model, if I would say, in my dream. But you know, life is cruel, and most dreams never come true. So I'm going to tell you what I did. What I did in reality. So we have this physical motivated phenomenological model, and it includes four factors. So the first factor is the entropy flow. Not entropy flow. It's entropy profile. So we assume entropy profile is the power law. This is what we know that from simulation and the observation, that at least outside the core, it's power law. It's quite close to power law. But you may notice that we did not include the core. There are also two reasons. Because first, because it's too difficult. The property of a core is very different from one cluster to other. But the second reason is because the two observables we have are kind of insensitive to the core property. So if I change this profile, if I add a core, and the SD decrement, the integrated SD decrement only changed by about 2%. And the temperature, because that's what people usually do, they cut out the core part. So yeah, it turns out it's also, if you cut out the core part, it turns out that it's also kind of insensitive to the core. And the second factor in our model is the dark matter gravitational potential. And this choice of this is obvious. We use this NFW profile, which is extremely popular. And here you have this concentration that is one of our parameters in our model. And the third one is the equation of a hydrostatic equilibrium. That's the equation. And you may notice we have this eta there. That parameter is inserted in order to allow for deviation from strict hydrostatic equilibrium, because we know that there are turbulence or some other non-thermal pressure. So yeah, that's why the eta is there. And we need a boundary condition. The boundary condition is specified on the virial radius. We assume the pressure on the virial radius is equal to the flux moment, equal to the momentum in flux by the infalling gas from the turnaround radius. And with these four factors, we are able to calculate all the quantities or profiles. And here are the five parameters in our model. The Ks specify the entropy, and the C is concentration. And we have this A and B to allow for deviation from the strict hydrostatic equilibrium and the condition on the boundary. But wait a minute, we also need to allow these five parameters to change, to evolve mass or and the redshift. And we assume that it's the dependence on mass and the redshift is parallel. So totally there are 15 parameters in our model. So with this model, we calculate the observables. The first one is the SC decrement. Because it's proportional to the component Y parameter. So hereafter, I'm just gonna use the Y parameter. And the Y parameter is proportional to the total thermal energy of a cluster, and proportional to the inverse of that angular diameter distance square. Now we mentioned. And the second one is the temperature, emission weighted temperature. And as I mentioned, the core is cut out. And beside this, we also assume that there's about 10% scatter between Y and the temperature and the temperature and the mass. It's gonna be important for the when we forecast the constraint. And so now let me talk about the fiducial values of our model. So the slope is easy, it's from simulation. Both simulation and observation agree that the slope is quite close to 1.1. So that's what we use. The entropy, the K, kind of normalization. We set this by fit the luminosity and temperature relation. So this is the fit in the low redshift, at the low redshift, and this is the fit at high redshift. And we get from the fitting, we get this. We set the K normalization to be 2.4. It's higher than the self-similar value because we know. But when the mass of the cluster is not too big, but actually it's very close to the self-similar value when at the high mass end. And the Km, that's the mass dependence, is minus 1.2. So that we know that the entropy in the smaller cluster is higher. And the fiducial for the concentration is from simulation. It's a fitting formula. And the eta, which is point 0.9, that means there is about 10% non-thermal pressure. This is estimated by comparing weak lensing mass measurement and the X-ray mass measurement. The B is just said to be 1, which means all the kinetic energy is converted to the thermal energy. And after we get set these fiducial models, fiducial values, we compare the temperature profile of a model to the observation. As you could see, it's agree quite well. So the red line is always from our model, and there are the data points. Yeah. So you could see it's yeah, it's good. And we also compare the luminosity and the y to m relation to the simulation. So we compare with two simulations. One is from Seagull and one is from Naga. So we find ourselves in between. Anyway, so I think we are happy that we are in between. So you may notice there are two red lines. That's because Seagull and the Naga integrate over a different region. So we get in both ways. So the up line is actually in the same way as Seagull, and the lower line is same way as Naga.
Or average
number. Average.
Average number of many clusters.
Yes, but the left clusters. So let me talk briefly about the survey that we assume. So the sky coverage is 4,000 degrees square. That's I think that's this South Pole gonna cover in 2 years. The frequency is 145 gigahertz. I think that's almost always one of the bands that in the surveys. And then the noise, the detector noise is 1 millijansky, and the best range is 0 to 2. And we're also gonna study the number counts approach. So we bin the redshift into 40 bins. Each bin has width of 0.05. So I think that this kind of accuracy of redshift is achievable with a survey like dark energy survey. And we also assume that the cluster need to have signal bigger than 5 sigma five sigma. And with this, we get the this minimum mass versus redshift plot. And you must see that there's a flat part when at low redshift. This is because so at the low redshift, the flux limit only is not sufficient. You need to consider surface brightness, those kind of things. So we just set the mass to be 10 to 14 over H. And we use the cosmology we set the fiducial cosmological parameter as the 3-year WMAP. So with that, we estimate the number of clusters could be detected as 6,800. What's the question?
How will you determine the redshift?
I know we are too ideal about the redshift thing. Also, actually, I will mention that we are too ideal about the temperature measurement, but I will come back to later. So let's be optimistic.
Yes, because there aren't going to be that many of them. You could probably get them in the IR. From the ground. It'll be long integrations, but they'll be expensive. But there won't be thousands. There's not 1,000 of them above version 1.
It's about 300 actually. We estimate that. So beyond one, it's about 300. So only about 5% of pastors. Anyway, so we use this fixed metric technique, and I'm sorry, I'm gonna show some table. Oh no, no, not table yet. I forgot, not table yet. So I'm just gonna show you the fixed metric that we use. So we for the schema relation, we have a fixed matrix for each cluster, and so this is for a single cluster. We add them all, and here the error part we include both the detect error and also the intrinsic scatter. We have I mentioned that it is about 10%, and also we also study the number count approach, just to compare. And here we have, this is the number of register bins. I mentioned 40 bins. And also we binned the cluster into Compton Y. So there are 8 Y bins. So totally there are, So number of data is 40 times 8, that's 320. And we use this to constrain 8 cosmological parameters.
Are you modularizing over these 53 parameters?
Yeah, we have 53.
Are you fixing or modularizing?
Oh, we did both.
Okay.
So yeah, here are the constraints. So let's first be optimistic. We only have this 8 cosmological parameter. And you could see the scaling relation has in general, has similar constraints as number counts. And if you look at the W0 and WA, they are surprisingly small. So of course, this is too optimistic. And we did the realistic case where we include the 15 cluster parameters. And this is the result. And so you can see the W0 and WA has been severely degraded. But in general, these two approaches are still comparable. So I hope it's just the error. For example, the
for the absolute term.
Absolute term.
Yeah. You're putting in Planck priors or anything like that.
We did, but I did not. We did not. I did not show in this talk, but we did that. Yeah, because I don't have enough time to talk of all we did.
But does that improve this?
Sure.
How much does it help for
that? You mean Planck
prior.
I forgot, but I can talk to you after the talk. So let me just explain briefly where the constraint comes from. So you may be a little surprised. I hope so. You may be a little surprised. So let's simplify the equation a little bit. So the Compton Y is proportional to the to the universal dA square and the times gas mass time temperature. And if the dA, the gas mass is roughly it's a fraction gas fraction times virial mass. And if you use the virial relation to convert the virial mass to the virial density times temperature, and the temperature, you get some formula like this. So anyway, so from this we know that there are three terms that the constraint could come from. So one is the angular diameter distance, one is the gas fraction, one is the other is the virial density, and some quantitative analysis, we find out that the constraint of dark energy and the Hubble constant is from the angular diameter distance. And W0 and W at higher from the high ratio clusters also get their constraint from the dA. And the omega n and omega baryon, they get their constraint from gas fraction, because gas fraction, well, no, it's smaller than the universal baryon fraction, but it's roughly proportional. So the constraint of W0, WA at low redshift Yeah, it's from the virial density. We use a formula from Coulomb, a 2005 paper. And so, yeah, I have this plot. This is calculated by using the spherical path model. So you can see there's a clear difference in the, especially in the low region. So, but still, why these two are comparable? We know the cost abundance is very sensitive to cosmology. It's a financial sensitive. But what makes this scaling relation competitive? So we think there are roughly there are about three reasons. One is the it's obvious use the additional information. So the number counts only use the component Y and also the redshift information. The scaling relation also use the temperature information. So more information gives more data points. So for here, for in our model, so each cluster is 1 point in the scaling relation approach. So there are about 6,800 data points. And so in the number counts, there are only about 320. And also the scaling relation has smaller error. The number counts always have this Poisson error. It's kind of big. And so when you have two, when you have this two approaches, so one main natural thing to combine them. So that's also what we did. So we combine this scaling relation and number counts, and we this give of course give you tighter constraint, and we compare to the constraint when you just simply add the separate constraint in quadrature. So this is the C. It's the sigma. Sigma joint square over the sigma quadrature square. That is okay. Oh, sorry. What's the question?
So how do the scaling relation constraints compare to supernova constraints on distances?
We did not do that, but I think maybe that's a good thing to do.
I mean, if you had supernova and the scaling relations, is there any extra information in there?
We only combine it with the Planck, but we do not use combine with the supernovae. But yeah, maybe we can do that. So anyway, you can see in the ideal case, it's the C is quite small. That means we get tighter constraint because of the degeneracy breaking. And we also did it in the realistic case. And so. The can see is a little bit larger, but I think you can also get some improved by 50%. Oh no, not 50. But you need to take the square root, so it's about roughly 50%. And also, so in the realistic case, we just assume the cutting parameters are free parameters. So basically, we are saying that we don't know anything about cluster except the particular form. And so maybe let's be a little bit more optimistic that we at the prior, maybe we can get like 10% we can constrain parameter within 10%. So that's the prior we applied prior of 0.1. So the new constraint, as you can see, it's tighter. If you look, especially when you look at W naught, it's a factor 3 tighter. So finally, that's what I'm gonna say. We are being very too optimistic about the measurement and the temperature measurement because it might be very difficult to measure them as pi redshift. And so we assume that we only use cluster within the redshift 1. So in the ideal case, the constraint is larger by about 20%. And so that's the R. R is the ratio when you only use the cluster within redshift 1 or compared to the constraint when you have all the cluster measured when you use the cluster with the Redshift 2. Anyway, in the realistic case, it's worsened by about a factor 2. And as I have said, the number of clusters beyond the Redshift 1 is only about 300. So that's less than 5%. So anyway, I'll come to my conclusion. So we have used this class model and the fishing matrix to focus cosmology. And in general, it's comparable with the scaling relation approach is comparable with the number counts. And it's also insensitive to the selection effects and offer valuable consistent check and help break degeneracy. So yeah, that's the end of the talk.
Do I understand that for you to do the scale relation, you actually need to go and measure the temperature using X-ray for all your 6,000 clusters?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you have your own X-ray satellite?
well, at least we have a measurement of hundreds of clusters. So that's we can just do a subcategory. Yeah, I know. Yeah, it's too optimistic, but yeah, it's good to know.
Sure.
So, if I understand it correctly, so you have these power relations between entropy and masses and redshift and so forth, right? 15 parameters. So you're taking them to be deterministic without any scatter, but there should be scatter in it, right? So I wonder if you are going to take into account.
Well, yeah, we do not fit, we do not explicitly include scatter in the cluster parameter, but we have this scatter between y and m and y and p. So what the scatter in the cluster parameter could be the source of the scatter in the y and p and y and m. So, yeah, maybe that's wrong with source. So we already include them in the error term.
In the Fisher analysis.
Yeah, in the Fisher analysis.
I don't know if that's
okay.
So another question. So you assume that we have a universal sort of fraction of non-thermal pressure in clusters that does not depend on the cluster radius, and there's a universal sort of pressure boundary that does not depend on cluster masses. Do you get this correctly? So what is your feeling how you are constraints will sort of weaken if you allow for a more sort of variance.
Sure, know. It's still going to be weaker, but you allow for
a
radius dependent.
Do you have an idea of how large this effect will sort of impact your results?
I don't know. We do not do that.
Well, another question would be which of these 15 parameters is most degenerate?
With half say, actually. Okay. So all of them contribute. So that's what I mean. About the non-thermal pressure, so far I don't have a good answer. But yeah, if you include the radius dependence, it's sure it will weaken our constraint.
Any last question? If not,
I think I have a comment about Gil's question asked about this. Supernova and scaling relations. So apparently, if you just do scaling relations, I think from this deal from the scaling relation, it will come out to be worse than supernova because supernova error bars are actually better. So just supernova versus just scaling, the scaling will be worse. It will not be as good as.
That's what I mean. Well,
only when you combine with DNDZ, basically.
Thank you,
Rafa.
Okay, let's thank Shane again and